Kristen, you and I have seen enough movies with male protagonists who are, you know, giant, muscly, you know, clenched jaw, tough guys. We've seen the ones where the male hero is the sensitive musician, artist, the romantic. So here's my question to you. What is a fantasy man in the movies?
A fantasy man. In real life or in the movies strictly?
Well,
in the movies?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, you know, are they not the same thing?
Well, getting all philosophical on me today. Let's stick to the movies for a second.
Okay.
So you should be strong.
Yeah.
Ideally able to use your hands in certain ways, like building a barn.
Yeah, okay.
Possibly karate.
Okay. All right.
You should have some background in some sort of intellectual area of study, like, let's say, philosophy.
Yes. Okay.
History.
Mm-hmm.
Religious studies. You should be really kind to children.
Mm.
You should be sensitive to women.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to protect women because men are always trying to beat up women and you want to stand in the way of that.
Right.
You want to be able to listen well, have a sense of humor, get along with the woman's friends, have a hidden talent for music or dancing or something along those lines. Probably cooking too.
Was cooking in there?
Cooking can happen sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. And then, be able to charm, in addition to children, parents or grandparents. And that's probably like 10% of what you need if you're a fantasy man in the movies.
I'm surprised that I've ever even gotten a girlfriend, given this list. I'm surprised I've ever gone on one single date.
You've been on a date?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So
that's, yeah, okay, that's quite a list, Kristen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the movies.
All right, well, let's talk about this. We've got a movie coming out today, The Lucky One. With Zac Efron, who's so young you can barely call him a man, right? But I think he is, you know, 21 or 22 by now.
Of High School Musical.
High School Musical, right. Moving into an adult role in this Nicholas Sparks weepy romance film. Let's see how he shapes up as a fantasy man in the movies.
Great, but let's introduce ourselves first. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer. You're asking about fantasy men in movies.
Yeah.
You're asking if Zac Efron fits the bill of a
fantasy man. I want to know if he fits the bill.
Well, maybe we should just first give a description of what the movie's about, and that can tell us, based on the storyline, a little bit about whether or not he fits the bill. Do you want to give us a summary?
Sure. I think you'll be able to tell right off the bat. First of all, he's an Iraq War veteran. All right, Marine.
Yes, he is.
In Iraq, during a night raid, ambushed. People around him are killed. He gets out of the night raid. He finds a photo lying in the rubble. It sort of catches his interest. He walks over to pick it up. And the place where he was sitting turns out to have been a bomb. That place blows up, and he believes, this photo has saved my life.
And the photo's of a very pretty blonde lady.
Right. Well, what other kind of photo would save your life, right? So it's a very pretty blonde girl in this photo.
I wish it was a picture of a puppy.
That would be good.
It'd be a very different movie.
It would be a very different film.
But not that different, because there's dogs involved.
That's right. That's right. He comes home. Decides to track down this guardian angel and finds her. Were you able to tell where the movie was taking place?
Louisiana.
Oh, it was Louisiana. Thank you.
Yeah, he actually, when he returns from war, he's very jarred. Loud noises are scaring him. He's staying with his sister, and he walks from Colorado
to Louisiana to
find his angel.
Okay, all right. So he finds her, and it turns out she's working in a dog kennel with her grandmother, played by Blythe Danner. And she has a young son from a previous marriage. That guy is Keith, an alcoholic sheriff, sort of aggressive, you know, aggro cop type. And Logan, played by Zac Efron, walks in and, you know, wants to thank her of course, you know, and just say, listen, thank you for saving my life. But of course, when she shows up, she's wearing short shorts and a very gauzy white shirt.
And she knee-high boots.
And knee-high rubber boots, you know. So he loses the words. Moved by this sight, he decides to get a job at the dog kennel and work alongside her. And of course, I think you can tell the rest. So that is the story. That's the setup.
It is.
And much of this film is the girl, what is her name? Beth, Elizabeth Green, played by Taylor Schilling. So much of this film is her sizing him up and trying to figure out whether to let him into her life and, you know, trying to figure out what kind of guy he is and, you know, what he's up to.
She's got a lot of walls up around her.
Yes.
She doesn't want to be hurt again.
That's right. I forgot
about that part.
She's
been hurt
once
and she's not going
to
be hurt again.
I forgot about the doesn't want to be hurt again part. I'm sorry I neglected to say that. You're right.
That's so true. Very important for when you're looking at a fantasy man.
Right.
You don't want him to hurt you again.
That's right. Okay, you're right. So let's talk about whether Zac Efron stacks up here. Now, do you think Zac Efron is how would you describe? Cute,
he's,
handsome, pretty?
Still,
what is he?
He's starting to look more like a man to me.
Okay.
But mostly he looks kind of prepubescent.
Still? Okay.
He still looks prepubescent, and his skin has always looked very waxy to me. He always, he's got a little bit of stubble in this movie.
Yes, yeah.
And his giant eyes look like a child's giant eyes to me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, those eyes are pretty incredible of his, right? I mean, these sparkly, sparkly blue eyes he's got. That would seem to be his best feature to me. I mean, it's hard for me to tell with some of this stuff, but I mean,
I'm glad you're bringing up his sparkly eyes, though, because something I forgot to mention on my list is your man is very handsome, and he looks at you in a certain way.
Oh, okay.
You
All
know,
right.
Your fantasy man.
All
he
right.
Has to. He has to be good looking.
Oh, heck. I can look at women in a certain way. all right. So you feel like he still looks a little bit too kind of youngish, babyish, maybe?
Yeah.
A little too teen? All right. I did think he does have the marine walk down, right? There, as you said, he walks from Colorado to Louisiana. He does a lot of walking in the film, you know, to clear his mind. He often goes on a walk with his dog, Zeus.
And she does a lot of running.
That's right.
And maybe running away from herself.
Maybe.
And maybe he's going to help her run right back into herself and to him.
Right.
That was a bad metaphor.
He's going to help you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Kristen. Okay.
So bad.
So he does have that kind of marine, you know, that I thought that was convincing. He has the body type and the body language of the marine down. So as you and I were saying earlier, one of the best scenes in this film, I think, is when he is on top of a pickup truck. Hauling some heavy sacks off of that pickup truck and tossing them down into the ground. He's exerting himself and he's starting to sweat.
That's a very important scene in a movie
very
where you're trying
scene.
To show a man is a manly man.
That's correct. We've already seen him, you know, fix a tractor and start working, I think, on a boat and, you know,
a boat that has not worked for 20 years.
For 20 years.
He can get to work again.
Right.
A roof that's collapsing on a barn.
The rain
he can
gutter.
Fix that.
So he's already fixing everything around here. You know, as Taylor Schilling says, doesn't he have an off switch? So he's just all over the place, you know, repairing the
he's
dog.
Dragging towel. Pieces of wood around.
That's right. That's right. He gets the tractor of working and drags a giant tree out of the way. So now he's on top of the pickup truck, tossing sacks off the back of the truck, and Taylor Schilling is watching him from her window while she's washing dishes, a pot full of suds, and entranced by the sight of Zac Efron, she basically sort of works that pot into a lather. You know, suddenly she's got this giant volcano of suds in front of her because she's, you know. And I have to say that was the turning point in the film for me, where this film went from your sort of typical Nicholas Sparks, you know, gauzy, weepy film to something a little bit closer to, I don't know what, 9.5 Weeks, Showgirls.
You know what I was saying to myself when I watched this movie? It was, and I've already said this to you, it was as if the Disney Channel and the Lifetime Channel got together and tried to make a movie for the Playboy Channel.
Right.
And at that moment, as she's washing that pot.
Yes.
And he's, I have to point out, these bags that he's hauling around from the back of the truck of dog food.
Of dog food,
yes.
Yeah. Well, there it's a kennel. Yeah, not concrete or anything.
And she's getting worked up, and at one point she touches her chin and suds are dripping off
of
her chin.
Yes, I know. Well, I mean, then of course, you know, after she ambushes him in the shower, you know, Scott Hicks, the director who did Shine, you know, has this focus on the hem of her dress dripping water onto the floor. You know, it's this very silent moment, you know, just drip, drip, drip. And, you know, as I was saying to you, there are these scenes and I just kept thinking, are you going to cut next to a locomotive entering a tunnel or like a rocket going into liftoff or a volcano exploding or a tea kettle whistling or something? What? Really, it was kind of extraordinary. And I have to say, for a PG-13, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of yanking down of jeans and, you know, hands sort of, you know, dipping beneath waistbands. And there's a lot of this very, I think, what's intended to be very steamy and erotic, though I found it kind of quasi-smutty or something. It seemed very, I don't know, it seemed weird and out of place in this film.
I mean, it's a little bit smutty in the film. Yeah. But I think maybe one of the reasons why it comes off as so smutty, when we're not seeing those scenes, we're seeing Zac Efron kind of seducing the child of this woman.
Right, and right. There is that.
He's constantly trying to get into the good graces with this child. And when he's not doing that, he's kind of banging the child's mom. Right.
Did you just say banging, Kristen?
I did.
Wow.
You might have heard of this term.
That fits for this movie. Yeah. I mean, you know, the two of them, it's this classic thing, or the two of them get atop a chair, you know, as people
they
are
do.
Always doing in this
they
film.
They do. And when he's not on the chair with her, he's in the treehouse with the boy.
In the treehouse with the
boy.
Or
God, possibly playing piano with the boy.
Yeah, well, that's where the fantasy stuff comes
in,
right?
Or playing chess with the boy.
It turns out he can play chess, and he reads philosophy. He was briefly a philosophy major before he enlisted. Then he plays piano and helps the kid through his piano recital. Now, and this whole time, I'm thinking, you know, and maybe this says more about me than about the movie, but this whole time I'm thinking, oh, you know, all right, so here we have this typical fantasy man. But at a certain point, I started kind of siding with the alcoholic, jealous cop because
her ex-husband,
who, you know, rather understandably is watching this guy come in, get into his ex-wife's bed, and steal his child. And there's a certain turning point along with the smutty sex where I also felt like the movie was getting a little creepy because Logan is sort of ingratiating himself into this family. And really, like, again, granted, you know, the alcoholic cop character, not so sympathetic, but he really is essentially supplanting this other guy in this family's life. And it started getting a little weird to me. and I can't really, I don't want to spoil the ending of the film, but it really, at the end of the film, I kept thinking, you know, what's happening here is everyone in this film keeps getting sacrificed for his happiness, right? Everyone around him gets sort of shooed out of the way while he survives and gets everything he wants, which I guess
Iraq all the way down to
all the way to, you know, Louisiana, right?
All the way. And I have to say, you totally cracked me up. Yesterday you were comparing it to The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes, because after there's a scene at the end where everything is kind of warm and wonderful and nice, and I kept thinking, like, you're a psychotic. Like, you've achieved this weird dream that you came to get, you know, here in Louisiana, and by golly, you got it.
And
you are the lucky one. I thought it was very strange, and I don't know how they could have handled that differently, but the movie, ultimately, it kind of creeped me out.
But that makes it kind of the ultimate fantasy man movie, right?
In some ways, I guess
because,
it does.
Because it's like, this is not a real man. He's, you know, those 2020 exposés, the 48 hours, the in-depth special,
yeah.
It's like, he seemed too good to be
yeah,
true.
Exactly. Right. And then it turned out he was a serial killer. Yeah, I know. And part of the reason is I think that this Logan character is supposed to be a very taciturn, stoic, you know, man of few words, Marine type. And I don't think that really fits Zac Efron's character. And so he just winds up looking like this kind of glinty-eyed interloper who never says anything. Anyway, I found the film smutty and creepy.
But you would have loved it if Channing Tatum was cast in that role. Because
you know,
he's your real fantasy man, isn't he, Rafer?
He's my real fantasy man.
All right. So in the end, good date, bad date?
You know, I have to say this was a pretty awful date, especially if you're a guy. I really honestly think if you're a guy, you're going to mostly be siding with that ex-husband. whether you are one or not, I think your sympathies are going to go out to the ex-husband.
Well, I think you've convinced me. I think this might actually be an awesome date because I need to rewatch this from the perspective of the alcoholic, sheriff, abusive stalker.
And right.
If I watch it from his perspective, I might actually love it. I you know what? I think this is going to be a really good date.
All right.
Be great.
All right, Kristen.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.